Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt. I'm just so glad that you would choose to spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation. And so I hope you're prepared. You have your cup of joe or your beverage of choice. I'm going bubbly water this morning. I already have 5 coffee in me, and I thought it would not be good for you or me to have another cup of coffee. And so, but I'm pretty amped up this morning because we're starting a new series. We are going to walk through the book of Matthew. And today we're only going to look at one verse. And so at this pace, going one verse, it could take us a decade to finish this book, but I'm hoping to get it done in a year. All right. And so we're going to just dive into the book of Matthew. And so I just want to jump right into it because we have a lot to do. Hey, we might only have one verse, but that doesn't mean it's going to be short. All right. So here we go. Just something you should know is Matthew is one of 4 gospels you'll find in the New Testament of your Bible. In a gospel, it means good news, but the gospels are actually biographies of the life of Jesus. In each one of the gospels, it gives us a different aspect and dimension of the ministry and the life of Jesus Christ. And so when you put them all together, you get this full perspective of the life of Jesus. And so you get Mark is written to the Romans, and you're going to see Jesus. We see the side of him that he's a servant. He's come to serve and not to be served. That Luke is going to come, and it's written to the Greeks. And you're going to see this, that Luke is going to refer to Jesus as the Son of Man. And then John, it's written to the world. And John is going to reveal Jesus as the Son of God. But Matthew is written to a predominantly Jewish audience. And so in this, Matthew is going to reveal Jesus as the King. And I love that picture of Jesus being a great and glorious King. And I pray you do too. As we get in the Word, you know, Matthew is the first book in your New Testament. And because it's so oriented and written towards Jews, it cites the Old Testament over 50 times in that gospel. And so how appropriate, it's an appropriate transition from the Old Testament into your New Testament. And we are supposed to read the genealogy today. And I thought, man, to read through the whole genealogy would be a won't. And plus, I have to try and pronounce all these weird names. We won't do that. But I will let you know that in the genealogy of Jesus, as you get into the nuggets of it, it's beautiful and amazing. And so it's actually broken into 3 different parts of 14 generations. And so you're going to get Abraham to David is 14 generations. And then you go David to the exile is 14. And then you get the exile all the way to Jesus, 14 generations. And the reason why Matthew, he lists 14 is because 14 is the number of David. And who's David? The great King. And Jesus is our great King. And so let's, what do you say? We roll right into this thing. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. I'll read it for us here this morning. It starts like this. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. I need to stop right there. That book, when it says the book, that's actually the word biblios in the Greek, or Bible. And so and then genealogy, it's the word Genesis. And so we could read it like this, the book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ. Like Genesis, it means beginnings. That's why we get it at the start of our Bible. And now at the start of the New Testament, we see this. There's a new beginning in the God-man, Jesus Christ. And so it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so that's where we're going to dive in today. And so like the genealogy, it's amazing that our story begins with a genealogy. So like when you go to movies, like do you love, like I love going to movies. I love everything about it. I love all the trailers before, but how about the movies that they begin with the ending And then they work their way backwards to see how we got there. That's the genealogy, that it begins with Jesus. And then the genealogy, it lets us see how we got to this point in the story. And so the genealogy is critical to find out, to keep us rooted in the story that's playing out in the universe. And so the story of Jesus, it resonates deep in the human soul. So let me see if I can prove it like this. And so there's certain things that transcend just flesh and blood or the physical world. There's something spiritual. So for example, beauty and love. Like there's something spiritual when you experience beauty and love. It's why beauty, we're drawn to it. There's something that transcends. It's why when you go on vacation, what do? You go to lakes and oceans or mountains and forests. You don't go to Newark or Boise. And listen, if you're from Newark or Boise, forgive me, but you know it's true. You go to places that are beautiful because our spirits are drawn to that. Or love. Listen, if there is no spirit world and we're just a bunch of chemicals, surely when you hold your child, you hold your spouse, people that you love, surely you know that's more than just chemicals firing in your brain, that there's something transcendent, something that touches us deep in our souls. How about music? Like music has the ability to captivate us, almost to cast a spell upon us. Why? Because there's a spiritual dimension to music, isn't there? Like I remember I was sitting at Starbucks not long ago and I was supposed to be ministering to this person and they're pouring out their soul to me and suddenly this song came on over the loudspeaker that I really loved and it was like, and I'm a dude, I can't multitask and so it's wooing me, it's calling me, hey, listen to me. I'm like, no, I need to stay dialed in. And so what? There's something spiritual about music. It can transform us, can it? Like you can be down and out and you get some pumped up music and suddenly what? You're energized. Or maybe your heart has been broken and there's something very cathartic. It's a tonic for our soul. How many know that after that breakup, if you didn't have Taylor Swift in your life, where would we be in the universe? And so, or have you ever thought about this? How crazy is it that we feel compelled to sing along with music? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, man, I can't sing for beans, but when I'm in my car or something like that, man, it just bubbles up and I'm compelled to join in. Why? Because there's something that music touches us in our soul. I've heard it said this way, that music, it actually gives voice to our soul. And so story works the same way. That there's something almost hypnotic, like story, it can transport us to places in our imagination, in our souls, and we love it, don't we? Like my wife and I, we've been binge watching Sherlock Holmes on Netflix, and we just watched the last episode the other day, and I felt sorrow that it was over. Why? Because I wanted to continue to stay into the story, to be transported somewhere. And did you ever notice that we're always drawn to the same themes over and over and over again? Like the themes of a hero would come and rescue, or that in the end, love wins. Or also we just know deep in our soul and in our heart that the story has to be that good will triumph over evil. And so many of us have, you know, dropped cash down on the Avengers franchise, and it's raised over $22.6 billion in gross box office revenues. And so we love this stuff. We can't get enough of it. Why? Because we're drawn to that story. And if you remember the movie Infinity Wars, and the end of that movie, what happens? It's like all the Avengers get worked. Half of them die and turn to dust in what Thanos just destroys and oppresses the world, right? And then the credits roll. But see, deep in our heart, in our souls, we know the story doesn't end that way. Like we know it can't end that way. And sure enough, it didn't, because they rolled back up with Endgame. And we know what happened, that the Avengers somehow, some way, they come back. And through the sacrifice of one, that love wins in the end, that good wins in the end. Why? See, we know it has to end that way. It's hardwired in our DNA. In that Avenger story, that's our story. The story of God coming to rescue and through his sacrifice reconciles us back to himself. That in the end, we know this, that love wins, right? And so the genealogy of Jesus, it's going to remind us of the story. Because as you roll back into your Old Testament, that over and over the prophets and the Psalms, and it's all alluding to this, a coming hero, the Messiah, he would be called, or the Christ. Like just as a side note, you know that like Christ is not Jesus's last name, okay? It's Jesus Christ. Christ means the anointed one. Messiah means an anointed one, a coming hero. And so we don't normally use like the word anointed that much. And it was funny. There's some, and I won't name their name, but I was ministering to a guy in New York City and praying over him. And then there was a woman in our ministry that I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to have her pray for this guy. And he was kind of new to the faith and even just to get prayed over. So I was like, you know, I was hoping it wouldn't get too weird, as sometimes Christians can get weird. And so I asked this woman, I'm like, hey, please, would you pray for this young man? And so it got weird really quick. So she's like, you get on your knees. And I'm like, uh-oh, all right, things are getting strange. And so he goes to his knees, and then she starts to pray. And she's like, Father, in the name of Jesus. And then she goes, I don't have any anointing oil, but I'll just take some of this. And she wipes my forehead. I'll take the oil from Pastor Adam's forehead and wipe it on him. I'm like, no way you just did that. That's awesome. And don't ever do that again. And so the anointing, there would be anointings in your Old Testament, and only two people would be anointed, kings and priests. And get this, Jesus was both. Jesus is both the king and our high priest. And in fact, Jesus, when he comes, he says this in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 18. Jesus says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He's our hero. Verse 19, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus, he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And here's what Jesus said. This is a mic drop moment. He says this, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Boom, the hero had come and was on the scene. So last week over Easter, we were talking about the year 1999, and I didn't even realize this. It was an epic year for movies. And the iconic film The Matrix came out. I can't believe it was 22 years ago. But if you recall in The Matrix, you remember AI and the computers have taken over the world and oppressed humanity. So, by the way, enjoy your video games and your smartphone, because pretty soon it's going to be playing you, okay? And but we remember what happens. The computers and AI, they take over, and now humanity are basically just being like farmed out, and they're forced into this world, this fake world that seems to be real, seems to bring them joy, but in the end, it's hollow and it's empty. But the Matrix, it had good news. What? That there was a chosen one that would come, a deliverer. His name is Neo, the chosen one. And Morpheus said he's the one, that the Oracle said he's the one. And then we get the, and last of not least, is his love interest. What was her name? Trinity? Does this sound familiar to anybody, right? And so it looks like our man Neo is going to be the one to deliver his people. But what happens? Agent Smith takes out Neo, and he flatlines and goes dead until Trinity winds up on the scene. Let's take a look at that scene right now.
Neo, I'm not afraid anymore. The Oracle told me that I would fall in love, and that man, the man that I love,
Now, does that sound familiar to anybody? The Trinity, the chosen one, died on our behalf, and what the Spirit of God kissed and met the Son, and he says, get up. And Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, right? And it's just that it's the story that every story points to is the gospel story. And so we read this that Jesus is the Genesis. He is the new beginning. In other words, it's a new humanity that Jesus came and introduced into the world. And so Jesus has come, much like the Matrix, he's come to deliver us from the deception of this world. Like, listen, the world's going to tell you that, oh man, that it's just sex and money and pleasure and power, and all these things will fulfill you and make you happy. And listen, there's nothing wrong with those things, but they'll fall short. They'll be hollow unless you incorporate them. They're incomplete without a relationship with Almighty God. Without that relationship, you are living your life in the Matrix. That Jesus, he's come to deliver us, not just from the things of this world, but also from dead religious activity. That Jesus didn't come to start a new religion. He came to begin a new humanity, a new type of humanity. And so if you've ever been a part of just dried up, dead religious activity, where you just don't feel, you don't sense God, you wonder, why do I go through and jump through all these hoops for God? What is that? And here's what I would tell you is this. So here's a little nerdy stat. See, religion can never satisfy. It's an outside trying to get into your heart, and it just never works. So I heard this stat the other day. Did you know that your cell phone, it has 10 times the bacteria on it as your toilet seat? So, and by the way, you're welcome. So could it just be that we're paying too much attention to the wrong thing that we're trying to get clean? And Jesus's big idea is this, is that religion, it's focusing on the wrong thing. It has no power to change you. And so there's religious knickknacks in your Bible. They're called the Pharisees. They were religiously unbelievable on the outside, but dead on the inside. Jesus called them this, your whitewashed tombs. You look pretty and clean on the outside, but inside there's dead men's bones, right? In John chapter 3, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus, a Pharisee of Pharisees, right? This guy was religious, but what happened? He found himself empty, hollow, and lacking. And he comes to Jesus at night, and he says, tell me what to do. And what does Jesus say? You must be born again. See, Jesus didn't come to start a new religion, but rather to birth a new humanity. He didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And so Jesus has come. That, like last Sunday, we were celebrating resurrection. Jesus had come to resurrect what was dead in our spirits, in our hearts. And now through Christ, we come alive to Almighty God. How about this? We read too that Jesus is also the son of David. Let me read for you 2 Samuel chapter 7. And this is late in King David's life. And God's going to give David a promise. He says this. God says, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever and ever. And so we see that there's the promise of the son of David is going to come, and his kingdom will never end. And so we see all these parallels between King David and King Jesus. And so both David and Jesus were from the tribe of Judah, that they were both born in Bethlehem. Do you know that David took a ragtag group of men and transformed them into David's mighty men, the Geborah? That Jesus, he took 12 misfits and miscues, and they became what? The 12 disciples that absolutely turned the world upside down, that David would defeat the giant that no man could defeat, and Jesus would defeat the giant that no man could defeat, sin, hell, death, and the grave. And so we see all these parallels. And in the Gospel of Matthew, remember, we see him, Jesus is the great king we've been looking for. And immediately, we see that Jesus on the scene at his birth, that what the Magi come from the east, and they say, we want to see the one born king of the Jews. That Jesus immediately, even as a baby, he becomes a threat to the kings of this world, both King Herod and then later Caesar, Jesus would be a threat as a king. That we see this, that Jesus in his healing, he's called what? The Son of David, the King. In his power over demonic forces, he's called the Son of David, because he is the King. And so you and I, we long for and we want a powerful, mighty King, in our life. We want a powerful, mighty King that, you know, in David's story, that as a young boy, David is anointed king from Samuel. There's anointing oil was poured upon his head. And then do you know this? From that anointing moment, that from that moment on, David never lost a fight that he was involved in. Like, be it the lion, the bear, Goliath, Philistine armies, didn't matter what it was, David won the battle. And Jesus is anointed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides upon Jesus Christ. And as he walked the earth, everything obeyed him because he was anointed as the king. And so he rules everything. He rules the storms of the sea. He rules over the demonic. He rules over death, right? All these things. And so when life comes at you, that's who I want on my side. I want a mighty king. When life assaults me, I need a powerful king in and over my life. And for the record, AA, alcoholics get this. Those that are a part of AA, like if you've ever gone through the 12 steps before, they have the humility to recognize my life has become unmanageable. And so what do? They reach out to a higher power. What their soul is saying, I need a king. I need a powerful king to help me manage my life. How about our country and our nation? Like, our nation is trying so hard to kick Jesus, the king, out of our country. We want him out of our schools. We want him out of our government. Hey, Jesus, get out of our sexual ethic, right? We just get out of our media, all these different things, until a terrorist attack. Attacks the Twin Towers and they come crashing to the ground. Then what do we want? Oh, we want a mighty king. And we call for a national day of prayer. Prayer to who? Prayer to the king. That when a global pandemic hits the earth, who do we cry out for? We want something stronger and mightier in ourselves because we don't know what to do with this thing. And so what did we do? We call for a day of prayer. Prayer to the King. And so Jesus, he is the Son of David, and he is the King of Kings. And then we notice this, that he's not only the Son of David, but he's also the Son of Abraham. And let me read to you a few verses from the book of Genesis. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, it says this, God speaking to Abram, it says, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation and get all these blessings that God's going to bestow on Abram. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Right. And so we see this, that God, he wants to bless the world through the Son of Abraham, who we would find out is Jesus, the Christ and the King. And so Abraham, if you're familiar with your Bible, he's known as the father of faith, that Abraham was a man who he's going to trust God. I'm reminded of the story. If you remember, a couple months back, I referenced Ernie Johnson, and he's the Emmy Award-winning sportscaster, and he does the NBA show for the Turner Sports Network. And if you recall, he got cancer lymphoma. And Ernie Johnson's is a Jesus guy. But how many know, when you hear that word cancer, that'll rock your life and rock your world. And so Ernie immediately grabbed coffee with his pastor, and he sat with his pastor. And I just love what his pastor did. His pastor grabbed a napkin and began to write it as Ernie's spilling out his fears of death and of cancer before his pastor. And his pastor says, Ernie, this is what you have a choice here. And I'm going to let you choose between four things. And here's what he said. He says, and each one he wrote down four things. He says, number one, you can trust God, ? Or number two, you can trust God if ... or you can trust God when ... or you can trust God, ? And he says that was a turning point for him. That in that moment, Ernie Johnson, it slammed the door of doubt shut. And then he just says, I'm going to trust God, ? And doubt, he slammed the door of doubt shut right there. And Abraham, he lived his life that way. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust God. In fact, God so loves when his people have faith in him that it says, and actually in Romans chapter 4, it says this, that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That as we believe, that God looks on us and he says, that's the righteousness I'm looking for. And now for you and I, as we believe and have faith in Jesus Christ, that his faith and his righteousness is accredited to you and to me. And so Jesus is the son of Abraham. And through this son of Abraham, we just read this, Jesus, he wants to bless the world. He wants to bless the world. And so I'm not sure if we have any Trekkies here watching with us this morning. If you remember a Star Trek, Live Long and Prosper. And that's, of course, in the original series with Leonard Nimoy playing Mr. Spock. And so he actually introduced the Vulcan greeting of live long and prosper. But I don't know if you knew this, that Leonard Nimoy is not Vulcan. He's actually a Jewish man. And he invented the live long and prosper. And he ripped it off from his Jewish heritage, because when rabbis would bless, they would make the Jewish sign. This is the letter Shin. It can stand for Shaddai, which is God, or Shalom, which is peace. And so they would do this, and then rabbis would pray a blessing, the blessing of Aaron over their people. And do you know what Jesus did? Like God, at the beginning of Genesis, what does he say? It says that God blessed Adam and Eve. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. How amazing. At the end of Jesus's ministry, the Gospel of Luke says this, that as he ascended into heaven, it says this, that Jesus raised his hands and then he began to pray. He blessed his disciples. And you know what Jesus would have prayed? He would have prayed Numbers chapter 6. It's the blessing of Aaron. And you know, this morning, what I want to do, I want to pray that blessing over your life today. Numbers chapter 6, starting at verse 24. And Jesus would have said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I pray that over your life here this morning in Jesus' name. And here's our last point. Last point is this, have any of you done the ancestry thing, like 23andMe or ancestry.com? Have any of you done that? And it was funny, I was kind of Googling around, and there's some interesting ancestry stories out there. I don't know if you've seen this one, but Beyonce, that in her ancestry, she's actually related to Queen Elizabeth II. And so Beyonce truly is the Queen Bee, right? That Robert Pattinson, you remember that god-awful saga, Twilight, where he played a vampire? How about this? He's actually related to Count Dracula. He's called Ivan the Impaler, right? How crazy is that? And then recently, the royals have been in the news. We've heard a little someone like Meghan Markle. How about this? Meghan Markle, in her ancestry, is another Brit you might have heard of, Winston Churchill. So how crazy is that, that all that is back in their lineage? But you know, as we focus this morning on the genealogy and the lineage of Jesus, I just wanted to highlight a couple things. Did you know that in the genealogy of Jesus, that they highlight five women by name. That was unheard of in this patriarchal society, that you never listed women in the genealogy. And here's why that's so important. Because ladies, women, you matter in the story of God. That it's been through the sacrifice and lives of women that God has advanced his kingdom throughout the generations. That, you know, the first heroes we read about in the book of Exodus, it's not Moses. It's what? It's the midwives that made it possible for Moses to even be born. So women were the heroes at the start. Did you know that women were at the cross of Jesus Christ when the other disciples were nowhere to be found? That it was women that were first to the tomb. And I just want to give a shout out to all the women of Every Nation New Jersey. Where would this church be without the amazing women in our church? Special shout out to Pastor Dottie Flanagan, who's our women's pastor, and she's doing an amazing job with them. And now I want to talk to the dudes. Men, it's time to, I want to talk to you this morning. Like your role in the story of God. So we said at the start of this that Matthew was the connecting point to the Old Testament. And the last book of your Old Testament is the book of Malachi, or Malachi if you're Italian. And you know, the last words of the book of Malachi are this. Malachi 4 verse 6. And he, so when Messiah comes, when the Christ comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Like, did you get that? That when Jesus comes, God's going to do something in the hearts of men. I've referenced this before, but do you know that John Hopkins University did a 30-year study to find out what was the one common denominator towards suicide, mental illness, incarceration, illiteracy, all these different things. And they drew it all back to one thing, fatherlessness. And so with the coming of Jesus Christ, and men, God is calling you to model the prototypical man, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's calling you to be strong. He's calling you to be responsible. He's calling you to be loving. He's calling you to be sacrificial. And so that is what God's calling us to do. He is the son of David and the son of Abraham. Last point is this. You know, when you look through the genealogy of Jesus, there's some unbelievable people, but a lot of baggage went with it. And so we read about Judah. Judah, his name means the praise of God. But you know that Judah also slept with his daughter-in-law and sold his brother into slavery. That we have Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, but he also had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and was a horrible father. That David, he was called the man after God's own heart, but he was also an adulterer and a murderer. And so and that's all in Jesus's past genealogy. And now even as we look forward, listen, I promise you that as you look at the life of Christians, you're going to see that there's a lot of baggage and a lot of ugly things. Like you're going to see pastors that are having adulterous affairs on their wife, that you're going to see Christians that are hypocrites. You're going to see Christians that are addicted to porn. You're going to see Christians with anger issues. And how amazing is it, number one, that God can work through this mess. But number two is this, I want you to concentrate on the man in the middle. Don't look to Christians, but look to the Christ of Christianity. Look to Jesus, the man in the middle. He's in the middle of the genealogy. He stands in the middle of time, BC and AD, before Christ, and what is it, Anni Domini? It means the year of our Lord. And so, listen, I don't know. I'm sure if you were to examine your life today and really look in your heart, there's things you're ashamed of. There's things you hate about yourself. And yet you see what God can do through those that would submit to Jesus Christ. And I promise you, you would be a great part of the story that Jesus is doing. And so I know this, that if you would just simply ask Jesus to come into your heart today, that Jesus would say yes. He would come in, he would be your Lord and King, and he'd be the God who blesses you. Let's pray. And so, Father, we just thank you for this time in your word. Lord, I thank you for your great gospel, the gospel of Matthew. And Lord, I just thank you that you, Lord, are indeed our great King. Lord, that you give us strength and comfort. And Lord, you indeed are the son of Abraham, and that you look to bless your people. And this morning, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, would you just, you can just say amen to my prayer, or you can repeat after me, but God will answer this simple prayer. So Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to rescue me. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Come into my heart, be my King, and be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, God bless you, Every Nation, New Jersey. The sermon's over, but as always, I want to remind you that you can remain faithful in your tithing and your giving. Tithe simply means a tenth. We believe that a tenth of everything that comes into our life, we give back, we sow back into Jesus. It belongs to Him. And there's three ways that you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via PushPay. Just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, or you can mail in your tithe or offering right here to our church at 101 Gibraltar Drive here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And for those of you that maybe need more prayer, more ministry, or would like to speak to a pastor, you can join us at 11 a.m. this morning on our virtual ministry call. That number will be coming up at the end of this broadcast. And so listen, God bless you. God loves you. I think you're pretty great too. Have a great week.
I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.